At this point, Arrigo Cipriani, the owner of Harry's Bar, entered the story. Cipriani had grown up in a house on the corner of Calle Querini and Rio Fornace. The rear windows of Olga's house looked out on the Cipriani's garden. Without telling Cipriani what I wanted to talk about, I made an appointment to see him. As agreed, I stopped by Harry's Bar one morning at 11. The waiters and barmen were rushing around the restaurant, setting up for lunch. A postman came in and dropped a stack of letters at the bar. Arrigo Cipriani arrived a few minutes later. He was wearing a dapper dark blue suit with peaked lapels. He was in trim condition, still the agile black belt karate expert. "Do you mind if we walk while we talk?" he said. "I have an appointment." He led the way down Calle Valareso. "What can you tell me about the Ezra Pound Foundation?" I asked as I walked alongside him. Cipriani's face turned from cheery to serious. "It is not a nice story," he said. A workman wheeling a cart called out, "Ciao, Arrigo," as we passed him at a fast clip. Cipriani waved and then ducked into a narrow alley between buildings, still walking at top speed. "Jane Rylands came to me," he said, "and told me she was cleaning Olga Rudge's house. She asked if she could put some things in a magazzino, a storeroom, that I own next door to Olga. Just a few boxes," she said. "The ground floor was empty, so I said fine." Cipriani took another turn, and two businessmen smiled as we passed. "Ciao, Arrigo." Sometime later, Cipriani continued, workmen on a job nearby told me Jane Rylands was going in and out of the magazzino. Then I happened to meet Joan Fitzgerald in the street. You know Joan Fitzgerald, the sculptor, a very close friend of Pound and Olga. She made a sculpture of the old man. It's in the National Portrait Gallery in Washington. I mentioned to Joan that I had some things of Olga's, and Joan told me that Olga was worried about her belongings. She said Jane Rylands had taken several boxes and returned them empty, and now Olga didn't know where the contents were. I said, "I think I know where they are. Let me check." "Just to be sure," said Cipriani, "I went to the magazzino, and there they were, big stacks of papers, wrapped in sheets of clear plastic. There were signs saying, 'Do not touch, property of Ezra Pound Foundation.' I called Joan and two businessman friends and said, 'Come over.' It was Easter Sunday. We took Olga into the magazzino, and as soon as she saw the papers, she said, 'Those are my things.' She began picking up handfuls of stuff and carrying them back to her house, but there was no room. I said, 'Wait, I have a better idea. I own another magazzino right across the Calle, and I've got the keys with me.' So we carried the papers and boxes across the Calle into number 248 and locked the door. I was very angry now. I realized I had been an unknowing accomplice to whatever it was Jane had done, legal or illegal. It could have gotten me into serious trouble, and now, by moving these papers with the 'Do Not Touch' signs, I was afraid I could be accused of stealing Jane's property. So I made everybody sign a piece of paper saying we had moved the boxes." Cipriani turned another corner, and we were suddenly in the bright sunlight at the foot of the Rialto Bridge. "You know," he said, "I had a strange feeling from the beginning. After I told Jane she could put the things in my place, she asked me if I would like to be on the board of directors of the Ezra Pound Foundation. What did I know about the poetry of Ezra Pound?